Hello guys, welcome to episode 10. So we were trying a new way of recording audio, a hopefully more reliable way, and it did not work. So we're doing the old-fashioned way where we have to stop every 5 minutes. I'm joined again by Tyler James, who is currently the number one most listened to guest. Say hi, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on?
And tonight we're going to talk about UFC, was it 236? Yes, it was. UFC 236. We'll recap that later. And we're also going to talk about our picks for UFC Fight Night 149.
And don't forget the Lomachenko fight.
Oh, yeah. We just watched the Lomachenko fight on YouTube. And I don't know. I don't think Lomachenko really does anything wrong.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't know. That was a good fight. He knocked him out. I was looking away when he knocked him out because I was showing me videos of bats
Bats?
eating watermelon.
Yeah, that's more important.
Now, if you look at the bat's face, they might be the cutest thing on the planet. They look like little puppies.
They
If
do.
you look at anything other than the face, they're the scariest thing on the planet. Like, their hands look like demons and their wings look like demons. And pretty much anything that's not their face looks like a demon. But
Yes.
yeah, they're.
Otherwise, they're cuddly. They're cute.
They're cute as shit if you look at literally just their face.
You would want them until you saw the other part of them, and you're like,
Yeah,
no.
until you saw like the majority of them. Now I'm here to ask you, how do you feel about anal?
Oh, God. Well, I would do it.
Have you not?
No.
Never.
No.
Are you how old?
23, you know this.
Do I know this? I really don't know this, honestly, dude. Your age is a toss-up. 23, wow.
Where the hell are you meeting your chicks at? Damn.
Well, I'm married, so I'm not meeting them anywhere, but I don't know. I've never like done it a bunch, but I've tried it. Don't recommend it, really, honestly. It's like a slower pace. Not as fun for them, not as fun for you. It's like kind of gross, kind of awkward.
Well, then it doesn't sound like I was missing anything.
No, not really. I don't get why some guys like it so much. Why would you do anal when you could watch like bats eat watermelon on Instagram?
That's the more important thing. Always the priority.
Always the priority. So what have you been up to lately?
No, you know me, nothing. Nothing special. I've been reading a book about boxing, and that's about it. Fight Speed, Volume 2.
Yeah, it's like breaks down like with numbers how you're supposed to like counter and pull back. And it's all like vague pictures of Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, it's a good book, actually. It's really well written and well researched. But
Yeah.
yes, I read that sort of shit in my spare time.
Fair enough, man. Most people don't read in their spare time. I'm really surprised you do.
This is what I spend my time doing, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, we went back and watched an older fight, Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. What'd you think of that fight?
I thought it was a really good fight. Both fighters really respected each other quite a bit. I've been a big fan of this Adesanya guy for a while, even though I'm not a big MMA guy, as you know, and I don't know as much about that sport, but he's really incredible. He definitely, I agree with you, he looked human in this fight, though.
Yeah, he did. And we'll go into our breakdown about him versus Kevin Gastelum soon. But I felt like it was good to go back and watch that fight because it was the first time he looked human. But like he's openly said he based a lot of his style off of Anderson Silva. And like after the fight and before the fight, they give each other a bunch of respect, which was kind of cool.
Do you think the respect got into his head a little bit?
I think it's possible, but like my coach was texting me, he's like a prime Anderson would have stopped this guy, and I believe him because an older Anderson was holding his own against Israel for a lot of it. Although I did think Israel clearly got the win, probably all 3 rounds. I would say that Anderson definitely had his moments, and more than just his moments, like there was some tough moments for Israel to figure out.
Well, I mean, Anderson is a seasoned fighter. How old is Adesanya, as a matter of fact?
I'll look it up real quick. So Israel Adesanya is 29 years old. But he had an extensive kickboxing career where he was extremely successful. I think he only had like less than 5 losses, maybe 2.
Okay.
Probably more than that. I don't know. And then you asked me a question while we were in between looking that up.
Yeah. I asked you if, you know, say the podcast went as successfully as possible and you were making money off of it, maybe making money off of like a YouTube channel, would it make you as happy as going into a pro career in MMA?
Like, how much money are we talking? Like enough to pay the bills?
I'm talking plenty of money. I'm talking about genuine happiness. Would you be just as happy doing this? Say the money was the same. Doing this or fighting?
Well, like right now I'm literally having a conversation with you, which I do all the time anyways.
Yeah.
So it makes me happy. Man, fighting's kind of hard because like I love it to death. I definitely love it. But it's also terrifying. And anyone who says it's not is probably lying a little bit. If not to you, then maybe a little bit themselves. And like at this point, I feel like I'm kind of used to fighting. So mm-hmm. it's not as scary at all.
Yeah.
But it's still a little scary every time. Because I'm like, I could lose this one. And the longer I go undefeated, the more I'm like, man, I really gotta bring it this fight, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, let's say I made more than enough to buy a better house. This is my second night in my new place, by the way. And I like it. But, like, let's say that I was making enough to have, like, an actual house. Like, own a house and own a nice car. And Shia has a nice car. And she doesn't really have to work. Then, yeah, I would still train. But, you know, I probably would never go pro if I was making that kind of money doing this. But, like, because I've seen the other route, which is going pro, and like, unless you've got gifts from God, I mean,
yeah,
then you're gonna fight some of the toughest guys in the world still. But like a guy here whose name I'm not gonna name, but he fought a guy who had like 114 amateur bouts and got knocked out by him on ESPN. And he used to be one of my coaches. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Chipped my front tooth. And fortunately, not bad, but he chipped it when I was brand new. No grudge there, actually. It was just, you know, a shitty mouth guard, and we were sparring kind of hard. But he got knocked out by someone whose name I can't remember, but if you're a boxing fan, you'll probably know within the next few years.
Yeah, 100%.
I bet he'll hold a couple of titles. Like, Conor McGregor was in the ring with him for a few of his fights, his pro fights, because he's, like, a huge deal in Ireland. And I think he made, like, $2,000 for getting knocked out that fight.
Is that all he made for that?
I have no idea. I didn't talk to him about it. But, like, I mean, I know he did not make good money off of it because he still works full-time as, like, a construction worker or, like, a stonemason or something.
Oh.
So that's a pro fighting route unless you're really good. You're never really going to make any money, which is unfortunate because I think my teammate who just went pro, I don't remember what they made, and I'm not going to say on here or ask them, but I'm going to go ahead and say it was a little less than 1,000. And by a little, I mean potentially a lot less than 1,000.
No.
And for example, I've made like $200 and something for an amateur fight before because of the promotion. So there's not a whole lot of money in fighting. Unless you're really, really good. Like I've said before, that there's been pro fighters who've gone at it in the UFC. You'll see like the craziest fight, and they might have only made $20,000 to $50,000 to win that fight. And if they get a bonus, maybe they made $100,000 that night. Maybe they made $70,000 that night. So, yeah, if I made money off podcasting, like actual money, I would still train, but I'd probably switch to this, you know, full time, because then I'm not getting brain damage. I'll know my grandkids' names.
Yeah, brain damage is a legitimate concern because that's genetic. You can only take so much.
Unfortunately, it's true. Yeah, no, you can't take too much. You were just saying that you get headaches after you spar sometimes. I used to say that. So I caught the tail end of not training smart. The very tail end, like 6 months of it. But like before that, you know, like people would show up and spar rough And then a year or two before that, like, someone would get knocked out, wake up, and start sparring again because they didn't know better. Like, they just didn't know. It's like they used to think smoking cigarettes was good for you. They just didn't know.
Yeah.
And knowing what we know now, we'd be like, absolutely no way. Like, so I caught the tail end of sparring stupid, and I used to make a joke. I was like, you know, they'd be like, does anyone have a headache after a Saturday sparring, which is the roughest sparring of the week because it's like full-on MMA, full contact, all of that. And we used to go way too rough, and I was just starting out too, so I was getting fucked up every Saturday. Like, I quit going for like 2 weeks, and like I'd take time off occasionally because I was getting so many headaches that I just couldn't do it. I almost like walked away from competing because I was getting so many headaches. Because we were sparring too rough. I've had sparring sessions that were tougher than any fight I've ever had, and possibly tougher than any fight I'll ever have. I've had sparring sessions like legitimately where I've almost been knocked out, and I've had sparring sessions where I've like really hurt some training partners, and it's just because we were going a little too rough. And by a little too rough, I mean like we were fighting. And SPG didn't really condone really fighting at that point, but like we were definitely going rough on each other. Like, I've got chipped teeth and shit to prove it, you know?
Yeah, I do.
When you spar like that, you got a short time, but I used to say, if you're not leaving with a headache, you're not training on Saturdays.
Oh man, damn.
And it was a joke, but like it was a true joke. It's, you know, partially to use humor, but partially also to like highlight the fact that like I was getting so fucked up every Saturday. Like, I was bleeding and like I had cuts and like bruises, and like it just sucked for the rest of the week. But now we train smart. I mean, I'll barely tap an opponent, like not an opponent, a teammate, like 10% power while we're sparring. And I feel like I get more out of it because now I'm actually reacting to what they're throwing at me instead of just flinching and swinging as hard as I can, you know?
Yeah, you have the flexibility to actually practice things without worrying about getting seriously hurt. So that's how you learn. Yeah.
You can be tactical and like, you know, I'll try techniques that, you know, I'm like, this probably won't work, but let's see if I can sneak it in there. And like, because I'm comfortable doing that, sometimes I'm like, hell yeah, I can now do this technique in a fight that I wouldn't have been able to do had I been sparring rough, like, you know, I had to do when I started.
Yeah.
Especially because I used to only spar with like boxers who weren't really SPG goers, but they would train there, you know, like the kind of their own thing. And so like it's like now, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this spinning back kick, and if it doesn't work out, he'll probably light me up, but he's not lighting me up hard. So it's like I'm gonna be like, okay, I can't do it like that, but I can still feel safe to try it, you know, again eventually. After, you know, I get control of that round again. But when you spar rough, you're never going to feel safe to throw that, because you're like, if I throw this and I fuck up, he's going to knock me out right now, you know?
Yeah.
So you feel safe. When you spar rough like that, if you're the best fighter in your gym, you're going to get okay, and you're just going to keep beating up on people who are beat up, and you're going to keep taking way more head trauma, because it's going to be like you're getting in a fight every week instead of sparring every week, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And when you train smart, it's like I'm trying new techniques. Everyone's getting better, which means the people I have to train with are getting better, which means I have to get better to continue to control this situation. And I feel safe to try stupid shit that might work, might not work. And I feel safe to try stupid shit that ends up being not stupid and being awesome technique that I can, you know, use in a fight. So hitting people less hard has been better, but brain damage is a real issue in the sport. So
yeah. And that's the thing we really have to kind of figure out, especially in boxing. I mean, how do we continue to train? I know James Toney was infamous for essentially only sparring for his entire career. And I mean, it has its benefits. I mean, he went hard sparring all the time. And when he was in his prime, he was on point. I mean, he was almost a perfect fighter. But now look at him. He's very punch drunk. And he's one of the best defensive fighters of all time. So, I mean, I don't know. We've got to have room for hard sparring, but we also have to have more safe sparring.
Exactly. Yeah, no, safe sparring's a big deal. I would say hard sparring for, like, a guy like James Toney, who might be the best in his gym, he might improve, but everyone else is not improving because they're scared to get hit and they're getting hurt, legitimately hurt. And so it's like, unless you clown on someone, you're not getting better because you're just trying to not get hurt every week instead of trying to fight every week.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And by fight, I mean like spar and actually get better at the sport of fighting. When you're just getting hurt, you're kind of just covering up and praying for the best.
Yeah.
And that's from experience because I've had bigger guys go way too hard on me when I was starting out. And it's like, all I can do right now is shell up and take damage. I'm not going to get better at fighting, shelling up and taking damage.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm going to be able to take less damage in the long run because of it. And I've noticed the transition in sparring. Some people don't even spar anymore. There's some gyms that like barely spar anymore. And I don't know how I feel about that because I do think you need to spar sometimes. And like, if you're good with a training partner, you could be like, hey, you know, let's not hit each other to the point of getting headaches, but like, let's go a little rougher on each other this round. Once or twice a month, probably once a month, you know? And I feel like there's a huge benefit in that if they're of a similar skill level, because then you're like really pushing yourself and cardio wise, you're exerting yourself as much as a fight, but like you're not taking the damage of a fight still.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. One of the fighters I can think of is, I believe it's John Bones Jones. He doesn't spar anymore.
Does John Jones not?
Yeah, no, as far as I know, he doesn't.
I don't know. I think he does. I know Robbie Lawler doesn't really spar anymore because his argument is that he already knows how to fight. I don't know if John Jones spars or not.
Maybe we can look that up. I heard that people kept trying to, like, you know, knock him out, make a name for himself, and he couldn't find any sparring partners that he really trusted, so he just kind of stopped.
Really? Okay, I hadn't heard that. You might be right, though. Now, to completely switch gears on you, TJ Dillashaw got busted for, let me check my notes real quick, guys. I wrote it down. It's steroids, but it's called, it's called the, not ESL, that's Elder Scrolls Online or something. let me see here. I should have stopped the episode for this, but you know what? I forget what it's called. Here it is, here it is. TJ Dillashaw got caught for EPO, which is a steroid that keeps you from getting tired as fast.
Oh.
And at his weight class, you know, cardio is, you've already got a lot of cardio, but I mean, that's kind of the name of the game because knockouts are less likely than like heavyweight, you know?
Yeah, I could see that, especially for a fighter like him.
Now, what's irritating about this is like, I'm a huge fan of his, so I'm genuinely heartbroken. And in this podcast, I was like, I doubt he's on steroids. Huge fan of his, was. Mm-hmm. I should say was. I'm not a huge fan of his anymore. In fact, I think that Dominic Cruz should fight Marlon Moraes for the title. Not the interim, the title. I think as far back as he tested for, all those wins should be overturned into no contests. I'm very, very, very anti-steroids in combat sports because that's the difference between someone losing an eye and not losing an eye. And that, I mean, obviously skill is what I'm referencing, obviously, I'm referencing Vitor Belfort versus Michael Bisping, and that's why his eye is fucked up, because Vitor Belfort threw a spinning wheel kick and screwed up Michael Bisping's eye for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Had he not been on steroids, I believe he possessed the skills to still do that. However, being on steroids, I believe, gave him the confidence to do that. I believe skill is what landed that kick, but I believe the steroids gave him the extra muscle and power to not only, you know, fuck up his eye, but finish him with that kick.
Yeah. I mean, steroids are banned for a reason then, you know?
It's the perfect thing to take if you're a fighter, unfortunately, but, like, you should not. Like, you're risking someone else's life. Vitor Belfort's eye, or not Vitor, Michael Bisping's eye is fucked up, literally just because Vitor was on steroids. And now, with his skills, he probably still could have landed that kick and finished the fight, but maybe Michael's eyes would still be okay. All right, so you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I do. I actually have a question for you. Steroids, obvious, but what about certain things that I'm hearing that a lot of combat athletes are doing, like microdosing LSD, microdosing shrooms? This apparently gives you a big advantage as well, and it's not tested for.
I don't know. I've never really tried shrooms. I tried like a couple caps and stems once, and but it wasn't enough to like hallucinate or really get high. I just got kind of scared of my hallway. So I don't know what the benefit of that would be. I'm very curious.
I've microdosed LSD before and done some boxing, and I did notice a big advantage from it.
Really? So here's my thing is like, if it's not affecting you during the fight, like there's no psychoactive effect, meaning you're not like high on pot or anything or drunk or anything. Obviously, being drunk would not help you. Being high probably wouldn't either. But like, assuming there's no bonus effect during the fight, I'm a little bit more lenient. Whereas steroids directly help you during the fight, but they also help you recover during training. So.
Well, the LSD microdosed, it does have a lot of effects during the fight. I mean, obviously, it helps you get into a flow state, which
See,
is very
if you're
advantageous.
microdosing during the fight, I'm against it. But like LSD, you know, you're on it and then you're off it, and there's no, you know, there's mental benefits afterwards, but it's like not physically benefiting you.
It increases your balance.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know enough about it to really argue whether or not fighters should be able to take it, but that is a great question. And I'd like to get someone who knows more about that and have you ask them the same question. Because
Yeah, if anybody out there has tried that, let us know.
yeah, hit us up at Wyatt the Riot Daniels on Instagram or Riotcast Official on Instagram, and also support this podcast with a small monthly donation. What? Yeah, I don't know enough about that. I was really bummed about TJ being on steroids, though. I'm super anti-steroids. I think that even though Henry Cejudo beat TJ Dillashaw and it was talking about moving up to 135 to fight him, I think that Dominic Cruz versus Marlon Moraes would be a good fight. I could pull up the rankings real quick, but I'm not going to just because I want to keep the podcast going. TJ Dillashaw versus either of those two is great too. I don't know. I think TJ needs another, not T, sorry, not TJ. Cody Garbrandt. TJ's out, obviously, because of steroids. But I think Cody Garbrandt could fight either of those two. You could mix and match them however you want. I think it'd be good, but I think Cody Garbrandt needs another win because he did just get knocked out by his third knockout, I believe, in a row. So he did just get knocked out. I think he could use a win. I think his other two losses should get overturned, which would make him, you know, I think like 10-1 instead of 10-3. Just because I believe they tested TJ Dillashaw back to the first fight with Cody Garbrandt. And I think if they find out he was on it longer than that, he should be any other wins should be overturned as well. So then his win should get turned into no contests. And that sounds rough, but I believe it. And I believe any fines he gets are, you know, usually those go to like the athletic commissions and like all sorts of BS. I think it should go directly into the pockets of the fighters who he beat while on steroids.
No, that's a good point. I never
A
thought about
any
that.
fines. I don't think he should lose his entire purse because he's a human and he needs to live still, and
Yeah.
he made a mistake. I think he needs to be able to come back from this and be forgiven. But for the moment being, I'm heartbroken. And he also talked about like how on Joe Rogan he said he was more yoked now than he was when you before USADA came along, and he was talking about like how he's definitely not on steroids and he's on steroids, so kind of fuck him right now is my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a little rude, but like I because I am a huge fan of his, but like I don't know, man, I'm a little heartbroken with this,
Yeah.
especially because he's so talented. I think without steroids, he'd be the world champion exactly how he is now.
I mean, it could be like what you're talking about, just that extra confidence boost that maybe it gives some of these
And
guys.
I think taking him off that almost, you know, ruins it, but
Yeah. Once you get on it, I'm sure it's not the same trying to fight off of it.
I agree completely. So just moving forward real quick. Remember last time you were on this podcast, I was saying that I would do the Bare Knuckle FC, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
So for the right price and a different promotion, I would still do a fight. One, because your face gets so fucked up. You get less
Yeah.
brain damage. And I think Artem actually, he was saying some, I felt pretty intelligent things about it, where he's like, Yeah, my face is fucked up, but it'll heal in like a month. And I have less brain damage than I would if my face wasn't fucked up. But like, I'm not willing to take the scar tissue and the damage that you get from fighting bare knuckle.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, let's say you've had 100 fights and I've had one. If I punch you, you might bust right open. If I even if I only land one punch in the entire fight, you might start gushing blood because you've been hit so many times. Whereas I've never been in a fight. So you hit me 1,000 times and I don't bleed once. So, you know, on the surface it might look like I had one, but like obviously I got fucked up, you know. I'm not willing to take that kind of damage. The scar tissue will build up, and I think it'll affect how you, I don't know if it'll affect how your face looks, but I'm worried about that. But here's why I decided I wouldn't do a bare knuckle fight. It's because the promoter of that, there was a fight, and he's like, if you want to run, we're gonna take like half your purse. I'll pull up the video for you, real quick, off air, because basically he tried taking half a fighter's purse because he felt he didn't give him didn't do enough during the fight. He's like, if you want to run, you don't get paid here. That's how we do it here. The promoter's a total douchebag. So the only way you'd ever see me do a bare knuckle FC fight is if you let me fight that fucking promoter, because taking a fighter's pay is never okay. And clearly he's not a fighter, because sometimes you can't move forward because you're getting countered on, or you just can't engage because you're getting countered on. And that's the difference between getting knocked out and not getting knocked out, and the difference between remembering your wife's name and not remembering your wife's name, or maybe his hand was broken. I'll show you the video real quick and we'll come right back to this. So give us a second, guys.
I'd
We'll
be
be right
curious to see
back.
that.
Okay, so we're back. He heard it and he said that, you know, half his purse should go to Reggie because he wanted to run.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like someone who doesn't understand the defensive aspects of boxing, which is literally half of fighting regardless of sport.
Yeah.
If you're not defending yourself, you're just brawling. You're not fighting. Fighting's different than, you know, if I put gloves on two people who've never fought and they brawl, it might be exciting and fun to watch. That's not a fight. That's two people brawling. A fight
Yeah.
is like, I'm gonna hit you and not get hit. That's literally the name of the game. There's no such thing as running in a fight unless you turn your back and book it. Like, as long as you're like slipping, even if you're moving backwards and trying to win that fight, even if it is on points, you're fighting. You're fighting intelligently if you're moving backwards, not getting hit and hitting them. You're fighting intelligently if you're moving forward, hitting them with a million punches and not getting hit. If you're hitting them and they're hitting you and you're like one for one punch wise, like you're not fighting then.
Yeah, that's rock 'em sock 'em robots right
Action
there.
and fighting are two different things. So maybe it shouldn't be bare knuckle fighting championship. It should be bare knuckle fucking two guys brawling for no goddamn reason.
Yeah, throw down. They can
Yeah.
drink before they go into the ring.
I mean,
Yeah.
literally, it might as well be a Hard Knocks promotion,
Oh, ouch.
which is a local promotion. Promoter's in jail for beating his daughter for like the 17th time. That's not a joke. Really not a joke. I probably shouldn't bring that up on the podcast. Do I care?
No.
No, not really.
But I have to agree with you based off of what I've heard from the clip and everything like that. It doesn't sound like what they're doing down there is boxing.
Well, and like I hear about this on other podcasts, the bare knuckle stuff. And like, I wanted to support him and I wanted to get into it because I'm like, you know, they just started. I could, you know, hypothetically follow this and, you know, talk about this sport from the beginning. But then he said that, and I think it was like his second or third fight night thing. And I'm like, well, now I can't support you ever,
Yeah.
regardless of who's fighting. And I love Artem Lobov, and I hope he beats Pauly Malignaggi. Although I think Pauly Malignaggi wins, I am not going to watch it. I'm not going to support the promotion in the slightest ever, even though he can't legally take half that fighter's pay, and that fighter will get his full paycheck still. I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to see anyone else get hit bare knuckle in his promotion. If there's another promotion, I will support the shit out of it and send it to me if you know of one.
You know, honestly, I'm just not a bare knuckle boxing fan.
I prefer regular boxing, but
Bare
what's
knuckle boxing is just,
brutal? Sorry, bare knuckle boxing is what?
it's just not the sport. I mean, you know, we've evolved to the point that we've evolved to,
So
Queensberry rules, but this is just, you know, that's just,
Let me sell you on bare knuckle boxing,
you can't sell
but
me on
not
bare
bare
knuckle
knuckle
boxing.
boxing FC with that fucking idiot. With gloves on and hand wraps, and my hands are taped, I can hit so much harder than I can hit bare knuckle, even if my wrists are wrapped. So there's less knockouts and less brain damage in bare knuckle, even though there's more cuts and stuff. There's like not as many knockouts in a bare knuckle fight card.
What about your hands? The damage on your hands?
Yeah, your hands are more likely to break, so you got to be more careful and box more calculated.
That's your career.
Whereas, like, with gloves on, I can just swing haymakers all day and not regret it, you know?
Well, I mean, boxing has evolved for gloves. I mean, the punches that we throw, you know, those will break our hands in bare-knuckle boxing.
See, here's my thing is I think there is a place for the bare-knuckle fighting, although it is almost too barbaric just because you get so bloody. And some of the techniques don't work as well, bare-knuckle. You almost need gloves. But, like, in a street fight, boxing will get you out of most things, unless they're, like, a fucking Division One wrestler. Then you're dead.
Oh, man.
Regardless of any skills. But
the only way I would respect, and I really would respect and enjoy bare-knuckle boxing, is if they allowed more grappling inside of it, like old-school Jack Johnson.
I've always said that, like, there should be a different promote. Like, if I ever ran a boxing promotion, we'd be able to, like, put each other in, like, the plum clinch like they do in Muay Thai, just no elbows.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be boxing's completely on. If you clinch me, we're still boxing. We're not splitting up the clinch and running out the clock. We're fighting in the goddamn clinch.
Yeah, it would be a very inside fighting.
And as someone who's been in the ring a few times, like, nothing's more irritating than when, like, especially if they're, like, really strong and you can't shake them off you, when they just clinch the whole fight. And it's happened to me twice now, where they just clinch every 10 seconds. Like, they're literally sprinting for a clinch so they can kill more time so they're not getting punched. It's so irritating.
Yeah. And bare-knuckle boxing would really open up the avenue for inside fighting, which is almost a lost art form. And it's so beautiful to watch. Think about Roberto Duran. Well,
yeah, yeah. And because they're not wearing gloves, imagine, like,
yeah,
how easy you could get a hold of someone's head and start ripping to the face and the body and, like,
bicep control.
The inside boxing would be amazing. Even if, yeah, like, they should be able to be connected and do it.
Yeah, that would be beautiful to watch.
That's what would set it apart.
That would be, I would watch that.
At that point, it'd be like Muay Thai without the elbows. And, you know, it'd be like upper body Muay Thai without elbows.
That would be interesting to me.
I think so too. I think that hopefully there's another promotion that does well bare knuckle, because I would like to see, like, Joe Rogan talked about as, like, the bare knuckle MMA.
I don't know.
You know, I go back and forth though, because, like, you're kicking with your bare shin.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he talks about this, where, like, the gloves are literally just there to protect your knuckles.
Yeah.
And they don't cut the other fighter as much. I think a bare knuckle, oh, I guess there's a, never mind, there's Vale Tudo, which is basically bare knuckle MMA. So it already exists. So I guess there's not really a need for that, but it's not very big. I would like to see a promotion of, like, bare knuckle style MMA get really popular, because I think that'd be interesting. Although I never really like seeing people get cut up like that, even though I know technically it's better for them because they're not getting brain damage.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a thought. If you're getting cut up like that, though, I don't know how good the trade-off is, honestly.
I don't either. And, like, I'd like to see the long-term effects.
Yeah.
Although I'm very curious to see, like, because, you know, I mean, you see some of these older guys in the UFC age, and they're almost worse off than boxers. So I don't know where the argument comes from that MMA is better for your brain than boxing. Although there is wrestling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being better for your brain. Because, you know, like, we fight for 25 minutes. I could wrestle you for 25 minutes. And I'm not taking really any damage. Whereas in boxing, like, we're boxing for 25 minutes. I've got to take some headshots.
For sure.
So, I don't know, man. Honestly, if you're that worried about your health, don't fight, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair, honestly.
Yeah.
You got to accept the inevitable if you're going to go into a pro career as a fighter.
So I'm going to go into a little bit of an interview mode here, and then we'll break down UFC Fight Night. UFC Fight Night. What are we at here? UFC Fight Night. God damn it. I lost it, guys. Ooh, this is not going good. UFC Fight Night 149. Wow, that only took me forever to find. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
How old are you actually?
Yeah, I told you, man. 23.
You told me 27 as well, though.
Yes. So we'll leave it ambiguous. Who knows?
Where's the weirdest place you've ever done it?
Nothing special, just the backseat of a car when I was a teenager.
That's fair. when I was a teenager, if you had asked me that question, I probably would have said a bed. let me see here. Have you ever been in a street fight?
No.
Yeah, they're not very common. People always say they have a street fight story. I feel like most people are making that shit up.
Well, you're always getting into fights.
Not in street fights, though. I'm a good person, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. You get into a lot of fights at the parties and everything like that.
When I was younger, yeah, I got, like, in a fight with a couple of Russian kids. But, like, it was, like, mostly... I don't know. It's hard to explain. It was almost like it started off as a fight, and after a minute, like, it was kind of over. No. Just because, like, he came at me, and I just gave him a couple punches, and, like, it was split up, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've never really been in any, like, super street fights where, you know, like, fucking Mortal Kombat style, where they're, like, whipping out nunchucks and stuff. Like, people tell you the stories of, like, I've hit people, and I've gotten, you know, where, like, it becomes shoving buddies for a second, and you, like, start to try and fight, and, you know, everyone's already in there splitting it up. The most legit fight I guess I've been in is I got tackled and I managed to get guard because the person didn't train and I put him like a guillotine.
Yeah.
I guess that counts. I don't know. I don't think street fights are really that common, and like I'm a fairly nice dude outside of the ring. So like.
Yeah, that's the thing is like you, I just don't really have the temper to really cause and fuel into a street fight easily.
I believe in myself. So like if someone's like, oh, you suck at boxing. It's like, great, bro. Like, what have you done with your life? Have you boxed? So how would you know if I'm good at boxing?
Yeah.
I'm 5-0, so apparently I'm better than these other trained fighters that I've been in there with. You know, like, there's not really an ego there. It's like...
That's true.
I feel like I've proven to myself that I can fight. Because I'm like, I fought 5 fighters, and none of them have beat me. Why would some guy on the street saying I'm not good at fighting affect me? And I've had people try and, like, rile me up with that, or being like, you suck at this, you suck at that, or you're good at being... Someone told me... You're good at being bad at MMA. And I was like, you're literally overweight and have not played a sport since kindergarten. So, like, why do I care what your opinion is?
Yeah, they can't trash talk us, man. We grow up in we know this sport. Like, we've heard all the trash talk.
Well, and the thing is like, you know, like, I'm like, I have a record you can look at. Like, tell me about my loss. Oh, there's not one? Like, how am I bad then? You see my point?
Yeah, I see your point.
Like, if there's no losses, how am I bad?
Yeah.
Because I'm fighting fighters.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, maybe that's a part of it, too, is, like, a lot of the anger and stuff comes from insecurity, and we don't really...
Don't get me wrong. Some of it gets under my skin, but, like, it's, like, I don't know. The last person who told me that, I was like, I've got a big backyard. Like, let's do this right now, because they're at my house. And all of a sudden, they weren't so tough. But, like... And, like, I even offered, like, I'm like, let's just grapple then, because, you know, I've boxed, so, like, let's just grapple. Let's see what happens. And, like, all of a sudden, they weren't so tough. But other than that, street fights don't really happen. It's just more like people wanting to talk shit because they've never been in a fight and they know they can't do what a fighter can do.
I mean, I guess that's true. Like, I think back and...
But part of me hoped you had, like, some story about how you, like, Bruce Lee kicked someone in the dick or something.
No one tries to fight. I mean, honestly, what kind of a fight would it really be? I mean, if you're not fighting somebody that knows what they're doing, you just jab them. And you throw them a cross or a hook, especially a lead hook. They're not going to see... I mean, they're not going to have a whole lot of a chance.
Well, yeah, because you're coming in combos, and they're just throwing overhand rights, praying to God that something lands. You know?
I'd be more worried if I got into a street fight about breaking my hand. That would be my major concern.
You know, everyone says that. I don't know, man. I don't tape my hands or wrap my hands when I spar MMA, and I've always been fine. But there is a glove on there. I just keep your wrists straight, and I feel like you're pretty much okay. Don't punch forehead, you know, aim for soft stuff. Like, I don't know. Pro tip, though, if you don't want to break your hand in a street fight, don't get in a street fight.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. There's no real point in being in a street fight, but, like, there has been times where I, like, just want to hit someone. But, like, if I was on the street and, like, someone really came at me and I had no idea who they were, and, like, let's say, you know, I land a punch, or even let's say I don't get a punch in and they hit me, and I see an opportunity to turn around and get out of the situation, that's what I'm doing 100% of the time, because staying in that fight's only going to get me a night in jail and probably more damage than I need and possibly shot or stabbed.
Really? Would you? Oh, see, my instinct would be to fight. I would have to fight.
Honest answer, I'd probably fight. But, like, yeah. I think I'd know better. You know, that would be like, oh, I feared for my safety. They'd be like, he has no teeth, sir. Like, you know, because, I don't know, I don't have that huge of an ego. Like, if two guys came at me, because people always ask me that, you think you could take two guys at once? I'm like, well, if they've never fought and they're like my size, hell yeah, I think I fuck up two guys at once. But two guys come at me at once, I'm going to assume at least one of them has a weapon. And if I don't know them, like, and it's not like, you know, it's like a, I don't like you, you don't like me, we're going to settle this like men kind of deal. There's no reason for me to be in that situation. So I'm going to get out of that situation as quick as I can.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. Honestly, I'm just more efficient with fighting than I would be trying to get away. So literally, it's not an ego thing. I would just fight because that's what I know how to do. If they pull out a gun and shoot me, I'm probably dead. Then, you know, there's no Philly shell, shoulder roll the bullet away.
I would probably, like, if I'm, like, cornered, yeah, I'm going to fight till they're so unconscious that they don't wake up for a year. But, like, if I had, like, Cheyenne with me, because I usually do, then it's different. Then it's like, I've got to fight, because if we're running away and you do something, you know, like, I can't risk her safety. So it's going to be like, hey, you go call the cops and get in the car and lock the doors. This guy is going to lose some teeth in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to dislocate some shit on this bitch. Like, you better hope he's got some serious ground and pound skills, because I'm about to hurt him real bad. But, like, if I'm by myself and I'm just walking down the street and I don't know this individual and he's like, what's up, bitch? I'd be like, I'm going for a jog, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you'd be like, okay.
Because there's no benefit in me engaging in that. Like, best case scenario, I beat up some guy and go to jail for a night. Worst case scenario, he's like fucking low-key Chuck Liddell and just fucking overhands me in the face and I wake up with no teeth. You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, though, we know pretty much everybody that's a fighter in the area, at least in our area of the Flathead. So we're not as likely to run into somebody that knows stuff that we don't know about.
And because I'm an amateur fighter, like, I don't always make money, but, like, why would I do something I have made money doing for free? I don't get it. It doesn't go on my record when I beat your ass. So why do I care about you?
Yeah.
On the flip side of that coin, there is another boxer here who I whooped the shit out of that, if I bumped into him in an Arby's parking lot and he said something, because he only knows how to box, I would shoot a double on his ass and ground and pound him for a minute and be like, what's up, bitch? Like, you want that rematch still? You know?
Well, I mean, if you're doing street rules, why not?
Well, and, like, you know, I've even tried taking the rematch with this person, and he owes me a belt, so...
You're just calling out everybody in this episode. I respect it.
I don't know, man. I'm a little cranky lately. But we just moved into a new place. I feel like, I don't know, I try to be positive in my podcast, but, like, I've definitely got some opinions about some people.
Yeah.
And I want people to know me, so I'm going to talk about things that get on my nerves. But
keep it real.
Another good question for you. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie?
All right, you had time to think about it. You peed. What's your answer?
Okay, I'm going to throw out an obscure one for you that, very, like, nobody listening is probably even going to know. Ghost Dog.
Are you being genuine right now?
I'm being genuine. I'll pull up some clips for you on YouTube. Pause that shit. I will show you my shit.
Okay, real quick, before you do that.
What's up?
All right, got one more question for you. And by one more, I mean probably a few more. But one more good one. Ready?
Okay.
Would you rather be deaf and mute, meaning you can't hear or talk, or blind?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
See, I've thought about this a lot, because not being able to talk would be a real issue.
Yes.
Not being able to hear would also be a real issue. Those coupled together is a mega issue, but I feel like being able to see would be, like, a huge benefit, because then I could read lips and write shit down, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead.
I mean, unless you're Daredevil, you know, where you got those super sense. I mean, you got to be able to see. I mean, that's the most debilitating one, is if you can't see.
See, I was thinking about that too in the shower this morning. I'm not even kidding. I think about these weird things, because I was listening to this creepypasta where, like, I think it's called, like, What We Have Here by, like, Creeps McPasta. I figured I'd give him a shout out, since I thought of this question because of his episode. But, I hope I just got the right one. If I got the wrong one, man, I'm a dick. But point is, like, it's like the most of the thing takes place with like this couple fighting, and then like they wake up and the wife, like she has no mouth anymore. Like there's no like this, it's just smooth there. There's no teeth or anything behind it. It's just like solid. Her mouth is solid. There's no mouth there now. And her ears are the same thing. They're smooth. There's no ears there. There's no circuitry in the ears. No, you know, anything. So there's no, like, esophagus, I assume. Point is, it's like the mouth and ears never existed or were never necessary. And she finds that it's, like, some random epidemic at the end of the episode. And spoiler alerts, by the way, after I gave a huge shout-out. Good episode, though. Good creepypasta. But she, like, finds her husband, and her husband has the same issue, except instead of being his mouth and ears, they're intact and fine. His eyes are smoothed over as if his eyes never existed. And so I was thinking about that. I'm like, I used to work with a deaf lady, and she would have to like do impromptu sign language, not actual sign language, because I didn't speak in sign language, and I don't know if she did either. We would like just make up random gestures and like point at stuff, and we could communicate with each other by her reading my lips and, you know, pointing at things and occasionally, like, texting each other so we could see what the other person was saying when we would work together. Whereas blind people have to have, like, seeing eye dogs and usually, you know, can't work. So I'm thinking sight is better than anything. 'Cause, you know, she'd been deaf her whole life, so she couldn't really talk to me. She had to, like, write things down and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when you first said that question, I actually thought of you know, you haven't seen this on Netflix, but the Peaky Blinders, which is a really great show if you haven't watched that, but it's about an old gang back in the day in Britain, and they would blind their enemies, and that way their enemies couldn't retaliate.
Interesting move. Why not kill your enemies? Then they can't retaliate.
It's kind of more of a fear tactic that way.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, if you want to punish somebody, what's worse, killing them or taking away their sight for the rest of their life? Wow. Pretty brutal.
That is a solid question. I think I would rather be blind than deaf. I don't know. That's tough. I think, I mean, because you're still alive, you can still enjoy your family and your loved ones, you just can't see.
Yeah.
And then you become Daredevil and you know. Daredevil. But like, you know, you can still experience your family and love and, you know, all the great things about life, minus most the great things about life. And then, whereas being dead, you're dead, so, bro. Depending on if you're religious or not, that either really sucks or is kind of awesome. So I don't know.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That's a tough question, though. But I think ultimately I'd rather have my sight than, you know, be deaf and can't talk.
Yeah, I just feel like not being able to, like, have a little voice box in that story is what made it more compelling. Like, there's no mouth at all. That would suck. I don't know. I was listening to it, and I'm like, man, that would be a great question to ask, so I'm asking you. Man, I don't know. I have one other question. I'm struggling to think of it. You got any good questions for me?
Not off the top of my head.
All right, one sec, guys. We'll be right back. All right, so your favorite movie is Ghost Dog, and you showed me some clips.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie, guys, it looks absolutely terrible.
Shut up, man.
No, it looks okay, I guess, but like, he, like, is, like, killing poachers. He's, like, in ancient cultures, bears are equal to men. And he's, like, this ain't no ancient culture, mister. And he's, like, sometimes it is. And shoots him with, like, a silenced pistol. And then, like, looks like he's eaten all the hamburgers in preparation for this film.
Dude, I don't know. I just respect the character, man. Like,
it's kind of cool, but, like, kind of terrible.
I mean, I don't know, dude. He lived by a set of principles that he believed in, and he stayed true to it, man. I just respected it.
Yeah. Alright. No, it didn't look that bad, but like, if you're looking for things to not watch, you might put that on your queue. moving forward, let's break down our predictions for UFC Fight Night 149. I doubt you'll know any of these guys. So. Yeah,
you know I probably won't.
All right, so I'm going to skip the ones I don't know or don't feel confident picking on. Now, I'm going to start with Marcin Tybura, who I believe got knocked out by Derek Lewis, versus Shamil Abdur... Oh my god, these Russian names.
Yeah.
Abdurakhmadov. Kamov? Shamil Abdurakhmadov. Whatever. Okay, you get it. I'm going to take Marcin Tybura by knockout round two. I'm going to skip to the next name I know, which is on the main card. This card's a little weaker than the card we had tonight. This is Monday, so Saturday night. Let me see here. You know how fighting is. I don't know either of them well enough to pick on that. So, wow, there's like no one I know on this card at all. Half of these people don't even have pictures.
Damn.
That's how weak sauce this card is. But we have Alistair Overeem versus Leski Olenek. Obviously rooting for Alistair Overeem, even though Leski Olenek has a better record, surprisingly. Although Alistair Overeem's fought tougher competition. I'm going to take Alistair by knockout round three.
I mean, I'm going to have to agree with you just because that's the only fighter I know.
Okay, I know the other guy a little bit, but like, oh man, that card is... We just went through an entire card in about 10 seconds because it's weak sauce. I don't pick on fighters I don't know. I am not a fight expert. I'm a fight enthusiast. So I'll pick on what I know and what I feel confident picking on because, yeah.
Yeah. And I can only judge based off the little I know. Overeem came from kickboxing, right?
Yes.
He was pretty good there.
So. And he's a beast MMA fighter, obviously.
Yeah.
But, any whomsers, let's go ahead and break down UFC 236, I suppose. So, on the early prelims, I recognize a few fighters, but I'm going to start with the Bilal Muhammad and Curtis Millender. I believe I picked Bilal Muhammad, but maybe even by decision, but he won by decision tonight. Good on him. He's a Muslim fighter, so I mean, I'm not Muslim, but for whatever reason, that makes me root for him a little harder than some people. I didn't pick on these fighters because I'm not super familiar, but Boston Salmon lost to Khalid Taha by KO TKO round one. Does that mean 25 seconds left or 25 seconds in? We didn't actually watch that fight.
Yeah, I can't tell you.
And then Max Griffin beat Zalim Imadahiv. everyone's talking about how young Max was the first time they fought, but the thing is I think Dustin Poirier is only 2 years older, and they both improved an immense amount, but, like, Max Holloway has been unbeatable.
Yeah.
So, and McGregor's beat both these guys. I think if McGregor fought either of them right now, he'd get his ass whooped so bad that he'd wake up like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
But
is it true that he came back to MMA? He, like, retired for, like, 3 days or something, and now he's like, I'm back?
He hasn't come back yet. He retires every, like, 3 months or so to stay relevant. Oh, God. At this point, he's, like, that kid at a party that's like, oh, I'll fight you. But, like, he's, like, backing up as he says it. Like, he's never fighting anyone. He's just talking shit and getting everyone mad and then not doing anything. So at this point, it's like, fight or shut the fuck up. Like, I've unfollowed him on social media.
Did you?
I think he's on trial for sexual assault. I hope false. Yeah, you didn't know about that?
No, I didn't know that shit.
Yeah, dude, I hope it's false. But, like, there's not a whole lot of information on it yet. I don't know much about it. But, yeah, he it's not doing great lately.
Damn, dude.
And he's been talking shit to Khabib and, like, posting pictures. He, like, said his wife's a towel. And, like, which is weird because Khabib didn't just beat you. He whooped your ass.
Yeah, it was very one-sided, man.
Yeah. Like, arguably, Khabib wasn't in a fight. He was just, like, punching a heavy bag for a minute there, you know?
And then afterwards, he, like, beat the shit out of Conor's corner.
He flying smashed Dylan Danis. And I'm an SBG guy, so I should be rooting for Conor and all of this, but, like, lately he's been on my nerves a little bit just because, like, I want him to fight, but he's just like, I'll fight you when someone does well, and then he just talks shit and, like, backs up, you know?
Yeah.
But you lost to Khabib, so why are you talking shit to him? Best case scenario, you get another fight with him and he whoops your ass again.
Yeah,
again. I'm rooting against you because of this. Now, I've talked a lot of shit this podcast, but, like, I try not to talk so much shit, but I get heated, bro. I don't know, man. Through all of this crap, I've become a Khabib fan and not a McGregor fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of McGregor right now. Hopefully he comes back and he gets his shit together and I can be a fan again. But right now, I'm just like, man, fight or shut up.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't know, man. He might have just gone soft with all the money he's made.
I don't know if he went soft as much as, like, if you're making, like I said, if I was making that kind of enough money to buy, have, like, a house and nice cars off podcasting, why would I fight?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point that he's at, too. What is he angling for, another Floyd rematch or something, too?
I don't know. I might watch that again. Although, I think if Floyd fought him again, Floyd would have to stop him early.
Yeah, that's an interesting one right there. I mean,
I don't know why Floyd did that exhibition. I don't know why Floyd would continue to fight. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying he's gonna, like, but, like, 50-0, that's badass. Like,
yeah,
51-0 does not sound as good as 50-0, even though it is technically better.
Yeah, and I know he's thinking about a rematch with Manny Pacquiao if the money's there.
I would watch that. I just, you're 50-0, you're getting older. I'm sure it's impossible to really retire because you get, like I said, I'm out of the ring for a couple months and I get that itch. And I'm like, I hope someone, like, cuts me off in traffic.
Yeah.
So I just, like, headbutt their butthole. But, like, I don't know, man. I think 50-0 is, like, a perfect number. So unless he's going for 100-0, just stop. Like, you're not going to get a cooler number than that. Like, you got to go to 75-0 at least to have a cool number again. It's nice. It's round. It's a good number.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. He just needs to stop. I mean, he doesn't want to keep going and then lose to somebody that's just not on his level. Not on the level that he has throughout his entire career.
Losing because of age would be as bad as losing only because of conditioning, you know?
He doesn't even have his knees anymore. Like, he doesn't have his footwork. I don't know.
I'm still impressed with him, but I think he needs to stop. And that's an issue with fighters more than any other thing is, like, just being like, I'm retired, I'm coming back, it's been an hour. Like,
yeah, I mean, I genuinely believe if he fought Manny Pacquiao or if he fought Conor McGregor, even if Conor McGregor was like, okay, I'm gonna pace myself this time and fight a better fight, so therefore Floyd had to finish him, Floyd can do it. The thing people don't realize is that Floyd, he can fight really well. Look at Floyd Mayweather versus Emmanuel Augustus. If you ever want to see him really kind of dig deep and actually put on a show and put on a fight, But he just doesn't like to, because, you know, that's how you shorten your career. That's how you get brain damage. That's how you just screw yourself over. But I mean, he can fight, but why would he want to do that? Why would he want to put himself into a position where the only way he can win is if he...
I guess time to retire for him. Yeah. Man. 50 yeah. and older, there's like nothing left to prove. And it's like over half of those are knockouts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's amazing.
He's got no reason to keep going.
I still can't believe Max Holloway lost.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
Anyways, man, we should let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Because I want some Wheaties. I'm hungry. thank you for doing another episode. This will air Monday, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, so say happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Now blow him a kiss over the phone.
I'm going to make you watch Ghost Dog, dude. We're going to pull that shit up.
I'm not watching Ghost Dog.
You're watching Ghost Dog.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. I said I'd do something special for episode 10, so I've got a guest. We tried new recording software. Didn't work out. And I'm going to start doing 2 episodes a week instead of 1. So there's the special thing. Thank you guys again for listening. I hope I didn't talk too much shit and lose all my listeners. But this is a bit of shit.
Conor McGregor will call you out.
You little bitch. That would suck. He'd definitely TKO my ass. But if I'm making that money that people make to fight McGregor, I'd take that L. Retire young. Retire at 20. then again, I mean, I don't know if it's worth it, though, brain damage-wise. Then again, if it's one fight and I make, like, say I make $1 million, and I just put that in the bank and don't touch it, and I work for the next 10 years, the interest off that I could probably retire off of.
That is true. Honestly, I would let Conor McGregor knock me out for like 30 grand.
I'd let him knock me out. And the cool thing about this is it's not like he's just beating me up. I mean, that is probably how it'd go. But like,
oh yeah,
I've got a chance to do something, you know? Like maybe I just pull guard 20 times and like get an ass whooping decision.
A flying Superman punch?
Yeah, I lose by decision, but like I pull guard so many times. All right, guys. Again, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. We'll have a new episode up Friday.
Yeah, don't get brain damage. Don't wear headgear. That's the real lesson.
Don't fight McGregor.
Don't fight McGregor. Don't get into street fights,
but
too.
If you had to fight McGregor, it could be probably fight McGregor. Let's be real.
Just hit him from behind.
Khabib's so scary.
Khabib? Well, oh he wrestles God. Bears, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, love you guys. Mwah.
Mwah.